everybody. Good morning, Miss Tori.
Good morning, darling.
I love that accent. You're talking to me just like that.
Well, it was meant to come out a little differently. This weather, God. I woke up this morning to a monsoon outside.
It's actually a little chilly here this morning, but I woke up congested and everything. People, I don't know who's giving me the cold, but stay away. Y'all don't understand. I have to be able to talk. Y'all are killing me.
Eww. Oh, by the way, that was the Halo dubstep by Shoot Kid or Shut Kid. I'm not really sure how he pronounces it.
But love it either way, Halo. Oh, Master Chief, I will have your digital pixel babies.
She's already got one. She's doing it.
Well, technically, she's not due until the 28th of next month.
Good Lord, woman. I have one. I adopted mine.
Yes, yes. Actually, another friend of mine did that. And we searched for a baby to adopt for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I walk into a store the other day, and they've got like three sitting there just for adopting. And they come with like everything.
Oh, why?
I know, it was like 4,000 linden, and it came with the bed and the bottles and all kinds of different stuff. I was like, wow.
See, that ain't right.
I know, I was like, oh, I mean, of course it is more than buying a brand new one, but it did come with all the other stuff already, too. So, like, that's not bad.
I ain't your friend, Ginger.
I didn't even know it was there. I go to that store all the time, and I just happened to notice there was a store across the street. And I was like, I wonder what's in there.
Mm-hmm. Y'all see how Ginger does me?
I know, right? All right, I'm horrible.
All right, now, unfortunately, people, I'm hoping I didn't just shut off the show. I'm trying to. Yes, fantastic. Now that's good programming right there. Thank you, BT. Okay, so we're supposed to go an hour, and we promised you guys an hour, but we have been having to update as we go. So we were at 45 minutes. I just increased it to an hour, and it let me. I love that.
Yay! Awesome.
That's good right there.
That is good.
I didn't know we could do it, but I learned something new today. Uh-oh. Here come the tweets. Hello, FPS Nation.
Oh,
thank you for the love. I wish I could respond back, but this new Twitter ain't acting right.
I know, and why is it trying to force me to download an app onto my PC for my phone? Stop it.
Okay. Jay, talk about.
Jay, you are not right. I don't like it.
It's not. It's
we're
it's
going to get a divorce.
It's not that it's rainy here. It's more of a wind monsoon. Like you know how the wind blows underneath your door and does a whistle thing. Like something's coming into your front door. So that's what I have going on. It's actually sunny out. It's nice. It's just extremely windy, and kind of chilly. So, but that's all right. I keeps closed for all kinds of occasions.
I got halfway dressed today. I've got pants on, but I left on a pajama top, so.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
Must be nice. I got to go out. Okay, so we got to do some news. Ma'am.
We do. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
Because
I've got a rumor.
Uh-oh, do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, you Blizzard fans, you ready for this? Blizzard is working on a free-to-play title. That is the rumor today. Blizzard Entertainment's next MMO project, currently an enigma in its scope and subject matter, will be a free-to-play game, according to a developer. This is according to a developed source connected to the matter. Blizzard has no comment on the story. Blizzard has been on the margins with the model, having dipped its toe ever so slightly in it by making World of Warcraft free for up to level 20, which I got bored with really quickly. While Blizzard won't confirm this news, the company has said in the past that it would seriously consider using the business model if it thought it was right. And this could explain why we're not getting a BlizzCon this year, and this could explain why the last 2 years they've teased us and not told us much about this new MMO. All right, so what do they have to say? They say it certainly is possible if we find ourselves in that circumstance or if we come up with a game where we think that's the right business model. The most appropriate for players to experience it, says Blizzard COO Paul Sams. He said this during BlizzCon 2011. He also goes on to say, we don't have any opposition to the concept. It's just at this point, we haven't decided to make a game where that is the model. But that doesn't mean that we won't. So hopefully, maybe we'll see something. I want to say there were some leaked documents I don't know, 4 years back now. I've been gaming a long time. Oh, wow. All right, so anyways, about 4 years back, it was before I came to Game of Natrix, I saw some leaked information about Blizzard's next MMO, and they, I want to say it was the late 2013 or early 2014 release is what they're looking at. So maybe we will actually start hearing something in the next several months. Who knows?
All right. Well, I have some, wait, let me, ooh, I got too much stuff going on. Okay. Killzone 3. Looks like it, maybe the multiplayer may be going free.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Love some free.
According to GI.com, computer internet will release Killzone 3 multiplayer as a free download in just, wait a minute, it may be today. Nope, you got 4 days to wait. Sorry, guys. While all the maps do come gratis, players will need to stump up $14.99 to remove a level cap and unlock all weapons and skills, so it's not exactly completely free. Everyone's calling it a shrewd move on Sony's part. Current Killzone mm-hmm. 3 players will benefit from an influx of new gamers into multiplayer to invigorate the leaderboards and gameplay, while the suite will promote and advertise a game that was released almost a year ago. There's no news yet on whether or not the same downhill will appear on the UK version. Download will appear on the UK version. Notice I said downhill on Sony version. But as the EE has been contacted for confirmation, according to GI.biz, a Dutch site yesterday revealed that the Guerrilla co-founder Arjen Bruss, which we told you about, was leaving the studio to join EA studio Visceral. So that has something to do with the reason why they're going free to play. Who knows? On the flip side, I also want to let you guys know, you guys out there looking for a job in the industry, Supermassive Games is hiring. Go to Supermass.
Really? Supermass. You know what they're hiring for?
They're looking for exceptional graphics tools and gameplay programmers to work on a yet unannounced Sony PlayStation title.
Oh, interesting.
You can go over to supermassivegames.com and tell them that we sent you. And if you know of a job or are looking for some talent, please make sure you stop by our boards and post. We are a part of a network of job sites, so you'll get your word out everywhere and quickly.
Mhm. All right, so what have we got? Oh, more free-to-play. I've got more free-to-play. This is awesome. Actually, well, this is not exactly new news. We've known about this for a while. I think we even talked about this, but I don't know why it's just going now. But anyways, Fallen Earth on Steam Network as free-to-play. They've been...
yeah. And I don't think it was on Steam is the problem.
Okay, well, that's what it is. All right, so Wastelanders rejoice with the new exclusive in-game items when registering with world's most popular digital games distributor.
Distributor, let it out.
Anyways, I can't talk this morning. So, a leading publisher of free-to-play, massively multiplayer online games, Gamers First, who we love, announced today that Fallen Earth, the company's post-apocalyptic hybrid role-playing third-person shooter, has joined the Steamed library. All right. So, if y'all have not played Fallen Earth, you should. We have talked about this several times. If you're new to the show, you've not heard about Fallen Earth before, it is a post-apocalyptic MMO RPG. It is for adults only. Please keep your children out. You have to be 18 and older to play. This is a hardcore MMO. We love it. We love it. We can't see enough. It's beautiful. It's challenging. It's massive. And when I say massive, I literally mean massive.
I can't recall loading into anything or having to, call it zone. I can't recall having to do it ever.
No zones. There were no zones. I don't even think there were any instances.
Well, you know what? I lie.
We're instanced.
I lie. There is a zone. You do zone, and I'm still not exactly sure on this. I think when you go into the, remember the bunkers when you start off?
Okay, yeah, there were those.
But I'm not sure if that was actually a zone. I can't remember if it was just I had to wait for the door to open.
Yeah, it was just like the door opens, the screen goes black for a second, and then you climb down the ladder and you're there.
Ah, not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, but Blaster and I were drinking and dancing semi-naked on top of the bar there, so that could be why I don't really remember.
Uh-oh.
We've got some video of that, don't we? Somewhere.
I might have some somewhere, yes.
Yes, we should put that up.
Get to it.
Wait, are we still giving those away for
We still do, but Not right this moment. We still have keys. If you ask for it, you can tell them about it. If you ask for it, they'll give it to you, but otherwise.
There is a special weapon made for GGR for us over at Gamenatrix, and if you want it, you have to come over to Gamenatrix.com and go to our store and apply for it. We will send you a code. It is a rocket launcher, a pink rocket launcher that was made for our event inside the game where they summoned zombies and then, you know, I totally ignored the zombies and just killed people who were marked PvP. But,
She is horrible.
Yes. Josh Bowman. Was it Josh Bowman?
Sean, but you can't even remember the people you murdered's name.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Sean. I love you, Sean. I love you. Really, I do. I love you, Sean.
Good God. Okay, so I got a couple of problems here.
Add it up on GameNatrix.com. Head over there, check it out. Links and everything.
Okay, so I got a couple. I got a short one and then maybe a long one. Apparently, yeah, there was a horrible, evil app on the Vita app store from Facebook. It's a Vita Facebook app. They had to remove it from the store after gamers reported error codes while trying to use the service. Eurogamer is reporting that gamers have been unable to log into Facebook with their Vita consoles for much of the day. When they do, they see the error code NP-13144-3. The only option at that stage is to close the app. Sony said the problem is with Facebook. And was working with the social network to try to resolve it. The Facebook app will be republished to the store once everything's sorted out, Sony added. But currently, there is no timeline for this. Is Google Plus working with it? Because I'm just saying.
That is... Yeah. And they just released. How is it?
Not checking out stuff. That's what happens. And that was short, so may I, Ginger, do you mind?
You go right on ahead.
Here's another short one. Ginger and I have both been telling you about this all week. DENA ordered to pay GREE $2.9 million in a copyright case.
Mm-hmm. Ouch. That is a lot of money.
That is.
I want to slip up just a little bit of that. Just, you know, some pocket change. That'd be nice.
Yeah, a couple thousand. A couple thousand would be good. The Japanese online publisher DENA will have to pay rival company GREE a fine following the conclusion of a long-running legal battle. According to a report on Industry Gamers and GI.biz, the dispute started in 2009 when DENA released a phishing game called Tsurugi Town 2. GREE alleged that the title infringed on the copyright of its game Tsuri Star and promptly filed suit. Yesterday, a Tokyo district court ruled in favor of GREE, demanding that DENA pay the company a fine of $2.9 million. That's one hell of a fine. The court was shown a number of screenshots illustrating similarities between the two games and decided that one of the comparisons showed clear evidence of copyright violation. DENA intends to appeal the ruling. Nimblebit and Buffalo Studios have both been accused. Have both accused Zynga of plagiarizing their games, while SpryFox has started legal action against Sixwave LOL apps. In November last year, GREE issued another lawsuit against DENA, this time for failing to list games on MobileTown if they were also offered through GREE's network. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Jay, I would cut you. Really, I would. But did you see what he posted up on Twitter?
He says,
nothing says day off like firing up the 360 in the middle of the day while everyone else is at work. I told him, you know, I would cut you for that, except that I play games for a living, so I win.
Yeah, that just popped up for me. Bad. You know, you two were all in love yesterday, and now you're not. See how quickly these things change people?
I know, right?
Shame.
No. All right, so I talked a little bit about this last night on our podcast last night. If you were here, you probably saw it, but if you were not, I'm going to read it anyways. ESA's BGVN thanks members for defeating Oklahoma video game Syntax. The Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, Video Game Voters Network, the BGVN, set out a congratulatory message to Oklahoma gamers who defeated a law in the state that would have added a 1% sin tax to mature and rated video games. The goal of the tax was to fund juvenile obesity programs. Yes, because video games make you fat. It has nothing to do with what you eat or, you know, parents not parenting their children. All right, so House Bill 2696 never made it out of committee, and a proposal to create an Oklahoma tax an Oklahoma task force on video games' relationship to obesity and aggression also failed approval. Yay! All right. So while several advocacy groups have tried to claim credit for the defeat of the bill, anyone with an ounce of sense knows that it was us over here at GGR. No, I'm sorry. It was the community that did the heavy lifting, as they always seem to do when they are needed. No doubt VGVN helped to motivate some. And they also go on to say, while we are glad the VGVN is out there fighting against taxes on games, we are disappointed that its parent organization, the ESA, oh, I knew this was coming, supports legislation like SOPA and PIPA and treaties like ACTA. Wow.
Tongue is firmly in cheek.
Good thing, and we are not forgetting that you bastages support SOPA. An act. And you know what? I bet y'all also support H.R. 1981. So, yeah.
I put the tongue in cheek. Okay. You know what? I'm moving along.
My nerves got out. Yes, I am. Thank you with it.
Do it. Right now, good things are happening. We said Nintendo was having some issues last night. That's what we were talking about during the show. So if you missed that, you might want to pop in our show and check it out. But this is a good one. This is a good story. Nintendo delivers a real-life Mario Kart to the GameStop Epic Reward giveaway winner in Tennessee.
In Tennessee?
In Tennessee.
Wow.
Let's talk about what he... Wait a minute. Where did my press thing go? Oh, Firefox. Crazy. Okay, so Nintendo, of course, as I just said, will deliver a life-size Mario Kart vehicle to Clarksville, Tennessee. One resident there who's the lucky winner at the GameStop giveaway, and he'll be presented the keys to a fully functioning Mario Kart. This is to celebrate the launch of Mario Kart 7, Nintendo 3DS system. Nintendo teamed up with West Coast Custom to create a life-size model of two carts in the game, one for Mario and one for Luigi, and unveiled them at the 2011 LA Auto Show. How cool, right? a recent episode of Inside West Coast Customs on the Velocity Network showed how West Coast Customs and Nintendo work together to make these video game vehicles a reality. Members of the GameStop Power Up Rewards program have the opportunity to claim Mario's cart as part of the monthly Epic Reward giveaway. The cart comes complete with a decorative glider wing as presented in the game. The Luigi Bumble V cart resides at Nintendo of America headquarters, of course, in Redmond, Washington. So you can't have that one. The winner's name is, and please, people, do not go over and beat this guy up or try to take his cart. And he may have it on eBay later anyway, so don't get all upset. You can still have a chance at it, possibly. His name is Nate Stelly of Clarksville, Tennessee. Congratulations, Nate. David Young, Nintendo of America's Assistant Manager of Public Relations, Rob Henderson, and Ginger's muted. You know I can't hear you right, whatever you're saying. GameStop Power Up Rewards Program Manager.
Oh, my God.
is the one who presented it. Gets the exhibition of the car on about 10:30 a.m. February 28th, and they'll be dropping by his house. Of course, there's, again, let me see what else he's getting. Nothing else much. We're seeing if we can grab some footage of that whenever he gets it, see how excited he is. But congratulations to him. That is fantastic.
That is awesome. I want some pictures. Maybe even some video of you driving around in this. This could be cool.
Let us hope.
Yes. All right. I hate Angry Birds. Really, I hate some Angry Birds, but, you know. All right. So, I'm pulling this from gamesindustry.biz. Rovio CEO considering acquisitions. All right. So, Rovio CEO Michael Head said that the company is prepared to make acquisitions to help its growth. The Angry Birds developer has achieved enormous success with a single IP, diversifying its business by entering markets related to games like animation and plush toys. However, the company is suggesting that it might IPO either this year or next. Further growth in the near term would be desirable. Head says that's another one of the areas we are starting to be ready for, acquisitions. It would be very easy for us to just go shopping. To get lasting benefit is the hard part. Head claims that he would be more worried about the future of Rovio if its entire business was still based on game development. However, even though the company's first game outside the Angry Birds IP won't be released for a couple of months, interest in the company remains high. He says, it is very regular to get contacted by somebody who wants to know if we are interested in selling. I would say there are a number of companies that are very active in the acquisition space. Zynga is one of them, and they're finally starting to turn a profit, right? I think I've read that a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. All right. I had to admit that there is a point at which would benefit the need to be acquired, but Rovio has yet to receive a compelling enough offer. We are not in a rush to sell. Hey, Rovio, you know what? I will let you touch the fluffy cakes if you will give me Angry Birds so I can burn it, okay? Thank you. A significant contributor to the hesitance is finding a suitor that would honor Rovio's values as a company. Head feels that too many companies view their customers in terms of revenue and nothing more. He says talking about users is totally wrong. As long as you keep talking about users, you forget they are really human beings. You are not making things for essentially a walking wallet. Why are you trying to make me like you? Stop that. All right. So on Christmas Day last year, Angry Birds was downloaded 6.5 million times, just 300,000 shy of the total number of mobile phones activated.
Wow.
Wow. You people are addicted to some Angry Birds, and I am going to be left. I'm not downloading Angry Birds. It is never going to be on my phone. Never.
Hey, Ginger, Rovio just sent us a code for Angry Birds. You got to review it.
Oh, God damn it. Sorry. My bad.
And see, and that's how we'd get her. Just that easy.
No, don't you do it, Rovio.
Hey, Rovio. Over here.
You do it. No! It's not nice.
Over here. All right. So, sadly, there's a breakup on the horizon. Google and ClearMax call it quits. According to VentureBeat, struggling WiMAX wireless network Clearwire and Google are preparing to break. Google is preparing to sell off its entire stake in the company, according to SEC documents filed by the search giant just today. Google originally purchased a 6.5% stake in Clearwire back in 2008 for a cool $500
million.
Wow. Clearwire was its faster 4G WiMAX wireless network, which has fallen behind the new wireless carrier standard of LTE. More recently, Clearwire has struggled to pay its operating bills, forcing its mandatory shareholder Sprint to lend it an injection of cash. Not good. The documents state that Google is seeking to get $1.60 per share for a total of $47 million, less than one-tenth the price it originally paid for Clearwire's share. On the surface, it seems that Google is simply trying to get rid of its involvement in an investment that has gone bad or doesn't seem to have any growing possibilities for any other parts of its business. However, it's very likely Google expects Clearwire to fail, which could be one reason for the fire sale on its stake in the company. Google shares will become available for sale February 27th. Sorry about that, Clearwire. That means either some of you are going to lose jobs or this, or something weird is going to happen and you guys are going to grow like huge, large that same day. Let's hope that happens.
Yes, yes. Let's hope that happens. All right, so what have we got? Well, I apparently got a browser that's being a dirty little brat.
That's not what you were thinking.
No, it's not. All right, here we go. I have no idea what this one's about, so bear with me. Remember when virtual pets were all the rage? Hatchy app teleports you back to the keychain friends of old. They say there's a Hatchy born every minute, and that's just the beginning of the fun. Hatchy, a portable Pixels LTD, is a retro app rebooted for a new generation of fun-loving virtual pet owners. iPhone users can now nurture, clean, feed, and play with their pets right from their device. The Hatchy reboot comes with all the things you love about virtual pets. Your Hatchy monster will go through several stages of growth if you are a nurturing parent. Mine always died. I wonder why. And will develop differently depending on the quality of care the player provides. A successfully raised Hatchy monster will be smarter, happier, and require less attention. Notifications remind pet owners when little monster needs attention. You can also share Hatchy experience through social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. And they even give us a few new additions. There is some new food, including apples, bread, cake, ice cream, and turkey legs. There's the new evolution from egg, baby, child, teenager, and adult. Several new forms your Hatchy can take. They're not telling us what. New endings take your adult Hatchy to the forest sanctuary to let him, her live his or her life in peace. Or go to the Hatchy graveyard to lay your friends to rest. Yes, and they also want to remind us there is pooping. Seriously, most requested new feature, apparently what they wanted. So some of you apparently like poop. Nice. All right, anyway, so this is called Hatchy, H-A-T-C-H-I. Looks like it's just for iPhones. Us Android users are out in the cold again, of course. as usual. No love, no love. Why do y'all have no love for us Android users? Come on, what's the deal?
Well, you got a new pop star on the horizon.
Is he or she real?
No, she is not. Well, according to VentureBeat, pop icons like Britney Spears and Hannah Montana do inevitably grow out of being good role models because they end up growing up and start doing grown-up things, which scares a lot of the parents. So what if they come up with a rock star that never ages or gets arrested for drunk driving? The thinking behind Spitball Entertainment.
Now, sorry, somebody's going to get a hold of this, and somebody is going to make porn.
Yes. but the thinking behind Spitball Entertainment's Mia McKenzie, who is an animated character and is the star of a new celebrity role-playing massively multiplayer online game, which they're aiming at girls. The big idea is to turn Maya into a pop star with a huge transmedia marketing brand, but to do it with a lower cost and viral word-of-mouth marketing of an online game rather than an expensive TV show. Michael Trigg, who's the chief executive of Spitball, said in an interview with VentureBeat, "We asked ourselves, how do you create a character brand?" He said, "From Angry Birds to Talking Tom, we're seeing these new branded characters take off in the new age of media, but you don't want a real person who might be ruined as a role model in the eyes of parents. The character Mia, or Maya, however you say her name, plays the role of a young celebrity pop star who serves as a mentor for the gamer's own character. The player creates a new character who will give Maya a run for her money, and she says, let's make you a superstar in the opening video." And, of course, she's blonde, and, well, the boobs are not so big, but why does she have any anyway if she's dealing with little girls? Just saying. They're saying, of course, it sounds far-fetched, but so is Hatsune. You remember Hatsune Miku, the Japanese pop star who's animated? Yeah, in addition to the game, Mia will have animated cartoon episodes and a full-length original pop album voiced by an actress who is actually in her 30s. Wouldn't that be Singer if it's voiced? But I don't know. Okay,
like,
so
you would think, but...
Singer, actress, I don't know. San Francisco-based Spitball is thinking big, but it only has 6 employees at the moment, including founder Trigg, a former marketing executive at the social network Hi5. He says that character-based brands are a $70 billion market, including the $1 billion empire built around Miley Cyrus's Hannah Montana. His team includes Jenny Hansen, creative director and former creative director at kids online site Super Secret, and Manny Marquez, former technical producer at Hi5. 3 other team members are now working on the technology behind the game, and most of the graphics work is farmed out to an offshore animation team. If Hollywood agents, insiders, and power brokers manufacture the careers of talented singers for public consumption, then you have to figure that you can literally manufacture a character to do the same thing. In a game, you create your own character, picking out features such as outfits and hair. You can purchase virtual goods and create unique abilities such as dance moves and VIP access, but you cannot create good singing voices. The team figures that 10-year-old to 14-year-old girls are not well-served by social entertainment or TV brands. Parents, meanwhile, are looking for brands that are safe for their kids to enjoy. The company has currently raised $400,000 to date and has moved into Founders Den, a shared space in San Francisco for experienced entrepreneurs. If the game is a hit, Trigg figures he can generate licensing fees and revenues from selling the pop album on iTunes or Amazon. The company plans to exploit social media to attract new players. 3 of Mia's original 10 pop songs are available on her Facebook page. Okay, before I even continue on with this story, there's one problem. There's one fly in your logic ointment here. 10 to 14-year-olds don't have access to social media, or they're not supposed to.
Yeah, 6A13 is the minimum, and still, why would you allow your 13 to 14-year-old that?
On Facebook or Twitter.
Exactly.
And if she's not going to be on TV, and she's not going to be on Disney, where the kids are allowed to go, how exactly are they going to see her?
This is true. This is very true.
Well, they're thinking ahead, thinking big. They're saying down the line we could do a fashion show, a Maya movie, a concert, turn her into a lifestyle brand. And they said then they do the reverse. They'd want to have they probably have an actress hired to play the real world Mia, like Angelina Jolie with Tomb Raider, which I don't think Tomb Raider did. The first one I didn't like at all. The second one I liked. At least they gave her a little more action and fighting. So I don't think that's a good example to cite. Again, Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider was not necessarily an icon for little girls, but little boys. Horny little boys.
Very, very true.
So, again, I'm trying to figure out how you're going to reach your market when you can't they're allowed to wear. Even though us, we're primarily female, we really don't address the little ones because we're all grown up here. We know we slip up and say the wrong thing and bam.
Yes, there is a little girl we would love to interview, but
she's past her bedtime or we're too early to school now, so we can't interview her.
Exactly. All right, so what have we got? An oops. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, they say, oops, Taco Bell apologizes for rejecting accidental PS Vita contest winners. All right, so what does Taco Bell have to do with PS Vita? That's what I want to know.
Oh, they were giving them away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't ever eat there. I hate their food.
I love me some tacos. That's it, but I just like the tacos. I can keep everything else.
Taco Bueno. Taco Bueno, no Taco Bell. All right, so there's nothing quite so joyous as winning a much-coveted prize from a contest. So it was with much glee that some customers who entered into Taco Bell's PS Vita contest received emails saying that they had won. But as it turns out, they didn't win, and Taco Bell is now apologizing for what happened. They claim that someone tampered with the competition, in turn causing a bunch of notifications to be sent out to contest participants. The company later sent them an email saying that they had not won the contest. The Unlock the Box contest continues through March 11th. They say, we have learned that during a short period of time on January 30th, some people entering our Unlock the Box promotion earnestly received a message suggesting they had won a PlayStation Vita pending the verification. This came from a Taco Bell statement. Goes on to say, it was confirmed these entrants viewed these messages as a result of others who attempted to gain illegal entry and defraud the system. Unfortunately, during this time period, some saw a confirmation screen but were not valid winners. We are therefore giving the consumers who viewed erroneous messages a second chance to win by automatically entering them into a separate draw
for a Vita. No, you should give them a Vita. Sorry. It's not their fault at all that they didn't
get it. And it was not their fault that somebody was cheating and messed up the system either.
Yeah. Well, say still, just be nice. Give them a Vita, or at least buy them a game or something for it.
At least give them a taco. here, we're going to give you a free meal, or two free meals for our mistake, our bad. That's not going to cost you as much as a Vita.
How about a month of tacos, so you can get a taco anytime you want, a card, something. It's not right.
Yeah.
Well, I was sure with you news about an upcoming investor conference for gaming, but they really didn't provide me much information other than who's going to be there. But I'll very quickly tell you about the Penn National Gaming Inc. has announced that members of its management team will participate at the upcoming institutional investor conference as listed below. Presentation fees. Look at that. The presentation to be used at these events will be available at pnggaming.com beginning Monday, February the 27th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a bunch of conferences if you want to pop over there. And if you're in that general area, you want to check it out. You're into the whole, investment thing. But, unfortunately, since that was so short, may I, Ginger, do you mind?
You may. Go right on ahead.
Scruggus. If I can.
Are you okay?
I don't think I can talk anymore.
All right, well, do you need me to grab the next one?
I think you're going to have to. Wow, it's not getting better. Lovely.
No, it's not. All right, what have we got? No tokens required. Midway Arcade app now available for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. All right, so Warner Brothers Interactive announces its Midway Arcade app for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch, a collection of 10 classic arcade titles. It's now available in the App Store for cents, Linden's, pounds, francs, whatever the little L sign is. Midway Arcade provides the ultimate arcade experience with a virtual showroom equipped with 10 classic arcade games, tickets, and virtual prizes. What I want to know is there a Miss Pac-Man? All right, so the app allows players to take their favorite arcade games such as Spy Hunter, Joust, Rampage, and more, along with four skill-based games including pool, air hockey, roll ball, and basketball, with them on the go. Players also have the option to purchase additional Midway classics through in-app purchase. The extra fun in the fantasy game pack includes Gauntlet 1, Gauntlet 2, and Wizard of War, while the action game pack unlocks APB, NARC, and Total Carnage. Players compete against their friends, earn achievements, and dominate online leaderboards. am I wrong? But wasn't it Midway that was like being sued by a creator, or maybe it was a creator being sued by Midway because he sold the rights to Midway Games and then was still making them? Do you remember that?
I'm fuzzy on the details. It all sounds familiar. I know Midway.
It was an arcade. Oh my God, arcade game maker. And I want to say he made Midway games, but he sold them to Midway and then got busted for still making them and selling them.
Well, I can't remember right now. Sorry.
But it was an actual physical arcade game, like the old school stuff.
Possibly. He may possibly be right. Possibly. I can't remember.
That's familiar, man. That was a story a while ago. Who knows?
Well, you lovely people that are planning to run out and stand in the cold, freezing, whatever it is, or hot, searing heat just to get an iPhone 5 will probably be either happy or very disappointed to know that you will have to get rid of your old charger or connector because it will not work with your new iPhone 5.
Well, good, because those old chargers were crap.
It says VentureBeat is reporting that they may be getting ready to ditch the current dock connector used in iPods, iPhones, and iPads in favor of a smaller version, meaning you'll possibly have to keep up with yet another adapter to use all the latest accessories for iOS devices. Annoyances aside, Apple could have a very practical reason for making the change. According to iMore, a report at iMore that cites an anonymous source, a smaller micro-docking port would give the company more room for other important components within the iPhone 5, which could be the first device to receive a new dock treatment. And since the iPhone 4S has a much smaller power lifespan than all the models preceding it, the most likely use for that additional space would be to include a bigger battery. The new docking port is said to be a new design rather than the outdated micro USB standard used by the rest of the mobile phone industry. Ha, huh? Cha-la-la-la-la. It's also worth noting that Apple... Cha-la-la, that's what I heard. It's also noting that Apple is moving away from its reliance on transferring information to its mobile devices through a power cord. As part of Apple's iCloud push, the company is now enabling more operating system software app and a digital media updates via Wi-Fi. The dock connector may end up as a little more than a way to charge the device and connect to third-party accessories. I don't think they should take that functionality out because sometimes what happens? You can't get a good connection. The latest rumors are speculating that the iPhone 5 will hit sometime before the end of 2012 and will feature a larger screen as well as a more curvy design. And there are some pictures floating around of the concept art of what it will look like. It is actually, ironically, if you've seen the movie WALL-E, you know, they said they borrowed Eva. You know, Eva mm-hmm. was designed after the iPhone. This one is looking a lot more like Eva, ironically.
Interesting. I don't want an iPhone. You know what? You people, y'all are all going to go stand in line. Just remember that some poor 13-year-old over in China made this for you. He's living in a compound, working as slave labor.
Their blood is in it. No. You know,
very well could be.
I'm finding it funny that they're making it seem like this is a new thing, that mm-hmm. you know, that they're doing the Wi-Fi thing. We've been able to do that with Androids for like forever.
I know. Android, seriously, Droid. Go Droid.
Not just them, but the phone I had before was another version, LG, that wasn't a Droid, and I could do that with it. I could pull my things off without connecting it to anything, and I actually pulled them onto an Apple, ironically enough. Go figure, Apple. Maybe you didn't know you could do this.
Hmm. Huh. That's interesting. All right. I'm coughing my head off this morning.
And I'm trying to hang on to my voice for dear life.
All right, so there's a big content update. A big content update for SteamScope for the iPhone 4 Plus and SteamScope HD iPad 2 Plus on the App Store. All right, so Digital Frame Studio is announcing the first big update. Yeah, we already said that. Da, 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 da. A lot of improvements in graphic and gameplay issues to enhance your game experience. There are new levels with a variety of environments and exciting challenges. A mini boss awaits you in the last level. The menu has slightly changed to deliver you a smooth access to the desired level pack, and the classic levels were updated in terms of graphic and gameplay, too, to provide you with new and improved experience in SteamScope. Yay! Love me some steampunk. Yes, I do. All right, so SteamScope is a highly addictive tunnel game and a fantastic steampunk world where players get challenged in their reaction and speed skills. In SteamScope, the player tries to get unharmed tries to get who wrote this? Tries to get unharmed through a tunnel system by using various obstacles and activating gates. Through atmospheric music, astonishing graphics, and innovative gameplay, the player will be drawn into a stunning world. Exciting levels with different environments, diversified game experience, and ensure long game motivation. Really? Who wrote this? All right, anyways, it is for the iPhone, the iPad 2, on the App Store right now. It's $1.99 USD, 99 cents USD, $1.59 pounds, cookies, francs, whatever the little C sign is. C sign this time, not the L sign, C sign. Or for the iPhone is 79 cents, cookies, whatever the C sign is. Cakes? Ooh, cake. Cake is a lie, people. The cake is a lie. All right, so anyways, I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning, along with a trailer. Head over there and check that out.
All right. You all will be happy to know, Android Droid users.
Droid.
GetJar has launched a new payment system for Android devices called GetJar Gold. The virtual currency is supported by advertising rather than consumers buying it with real world dollars. The virtual nature of the currency and its linking to the global advertising seem to solve two major problems that the traditional billing platforms have struggled with: low conversions due to complicated user experience and the lack of access to global markets. This is from GetJar CEO Ilya Lars. He says, our early results are showing significant increases in both revenue and conversion, and we expect developers will experience an increase of up to 10 times for participating. He says it shouldn't be a daunting move for the company, which already has GetJar Gold, which rewards gamers with virtual goods. GetJar Gold will take that to the next level and allow gamers to earn currency that can be then used across the GetJar portfolio for items to upgrade to premium versions of apps, which is awesome. GetJar calls itself the largest independent app store and boasts over 350,000 apps, which have netted 2 billion downloads. It works with around 95 developers. That is awesome. I love it.
Yes, yes. Nom, nom, nom. Where am I going with this next? Why is this being a brat? All right, so Premier Manager 2012, because some of you like to be micromanaging football teams. It kicks off today. Focus Multimedia's Premier Football Management Simulation launches on PC at game retailers today for a bargain transfer fee of just $10.20. Frank's, Linden's, cookies, whatever the L sign is. All right, so the definitive pick-up-and-play football management PC game, Premier Manager 2012, is now available from all good game retailers. Developed by Urban Scan and published by Focus Multimedia, Premier Manager 2012 is the result of more than a decade of addictive management games development and delivers fast-paced, fully featured football action on your PC for around a tenner. What's a tenner? $10? Anyways,
yeah.
Premier Manager 2012 includes a huge player team database, a brand new tactic system, RPG style, leveling up of managers, and exciting match days. Football fans can choose to watch every match from start to finish or enjoy the emotional roller coaster ride of an entire season in one evening with the instant resolving of matches. Designed for every budding football manager, Premier Manager 2012 delivers an accessible and authentic football management strategy game for everyone at a non-Premier League price that is sure to suit every pocket. All right, so for us Americans, football, they mean soccer. For you UK people, really? Soccer? Is it that? Man, you people are nuts. Just saying. Anyways, all right, so I've got this up on GamingHX.com this morning. Head over there and check that out.
All right. Those of you who are waiting to take on your zombies in Raccoon City, VATV.
Zombies. In Raccoon City?
Yes, of course. The PC version of Resident Evil Raccoon City will launch on 18th of May in the UK, publisher Capcom has announced, you know, those SOPA people. We want to make sure we keep that in front of you, those SOPA people. Eurogamer is reporting that it's almost 2 months after the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions, which arrive March 23rd. So there was no reason given for the late arrival of the PC version, although Capcom mentioned that the title will include NVIDIA 3D Vision support. Raccoon City is a spinoff from the main Resident Evil series. It turns the franchise's horror focus into a co-op shooter and places players within the time frame of Resident Evil 2. You'll be able to wander the zombie-infected streets or as either elite government spec ops or evil umbrella soldiers. There's also a heroes mode, which will feature get it out. Familiar faces, Leon, Jill, and Hunk, those characters. Isn't that nice?
That is very nice.
That is quite
very
nice.
Nice.
It's a little short, and Ginger's like, you done already?
I know, right?
I got another one.
You got another one? All right, because I got kind of a cool one I was just reading. But all right.
I got another one. Game Closure. Did we talk about them? I think we mentioned them. Well.
Sounds familiar.
Well, they've done something good. Yay. They've raised $12 million in the first round funding for their HTML5-based cross-platform multiplayer games business. They aim to provide tools to developers that can help them deal with one of their most painful tasks, taking a game and spreading it out across platforms without squandering engineering talent. The company, which debuted at the Google I.O. conference last year, raised the money from Highland Capital, Greylock, Benchmark, CRV, and General Catalyst, said Michael Carter, co-founder of Game Closure. Last year, the company launched its Popstar Defense games to prove that it could make a single game written entirely with the HTML5 language, the lingua franca of the web. Back in the game, on web browsers, iPhones, Android tablets, and iPads. Now it offers a JavaScript game software development kit that runs on multiple devices and allows client-side server code sharing. The company says, this is amazing, right? The company says it can reduce the time in which it takes to create game for every mobile platform from 12 months to just 6 weeks. The Popstar Defense game was a typical tower defense game where you had to defend rock stars on stage from getting the limelight stolen from some invading rockers. I got to find this game. It sounds awesome. It was a multiplayer game where users can collaborate in real time, and it used decent two-dimensional graphics. As many as 2,000 moving objects could be on the screen at the same time. The company went on to publish a couple more games to educate the team about the hurdles in developing cross-platform games. Says we continue to work hard on the technology and make it demonstrably the best in the industry, Carter said in an interview. Once we get to the stage where everybody in the industry saw that, we were able to raise rent. We can now make tools available to other developers and take some kind of cut in return. The industry is going through an extremely fast transition. I agree with him, Carter saying. The platforms are changing. Expectations of consumers are changing. Business models are changing. We started the company at the ideal time. Andy Miller of Highland led the round. He said in a statement that Game Closure has the chance to change the face of an industry. In a statement, Carter said, Our Series A financing was very competitive and gave us the flexibility to think long and hard about which firm and player we wanted to work with. Still, I knew Andy Miller was the perfect fit after spending just a couple of hours with him. He recently built, operated, and sold his third company, Quattro Wireless. He knows the mobile space inside and out. He just left an operational position at Apple as the VP of IAD platform, and he's one of the smartest and most level-headed people I've had the good fortune to work with. He's saying, okay, so Game Closure has grown from 3 employees at its start a year ago to more than 26 engineers. The company plans to double in size in the next 6 months, and Game Closure has stepped in where an earlier firm, Moblang, failed. Remember, we were telling you about them. Moblang shut down in December after laboring for a number of years, according to VentureBeat. Yay! So that's good. At least they got some place to go. All is good and well and fine for them. Good funding. Yay.
Yay! Yeah, we love us some good funding. And that is awesome. Alright. Found it. Alright. New Jersey teacher creates game to teach about the American Revolution. I think this is so cool. A Paramus, New Jersey history teacher has developed a simple video game to help teach his students about the American Revolutionary War. History teacher David Alokos game is called Choosing Sides, the American Revolution in Bergen County. In the game, players take on the role of Hackensack resident Van Dunk during the beginning of the American Revolutionary War. Van Dunk talks to other citizens in Bergen County to make up his mind to be a loyalist who sides with the British or a patriot who joins the American colonists. This game, which sounds much like an adventure game, is populated with real historical figures such as Reverend Garrett Lydecker and his servant Thomas. Aleko tells Paramus Patch, what the kids ultimately see is that people ultimately choose sides for a host of different reasons. One interesting thing that surprised Aleko is that a lot more students chose to stand on the side of Britain than he ever expected. He reasoned that some students chose to side with the ruling class at the time because they were thinking about their survival. He says they really got into it because it's something that was presented to them in a unique way, in a 21st century way. Students spent 2 class days playing the game and keeping a journal, which they were graded on. In the journal, they wrote as Van Dunk and tried to explain the decision-making process. Aloco said the video game was just another way of selling students on their lessons. Aloco, who has a background in marketing, also drew all the characters in the game using Google SketchUp to create the settings. The game can be played by Apple Keynote or Microsoft PowerPoint. It took him about 3 summers to create the game. Aloco wants to create more games in the future that can put kids in key moments in American history. At one time, he considered creating a game set during the Cuban Missile Crisis with players taking on the role of President John F. Kennedy. Mr. Aloco, I think you should do this. I think this is awesome, and I think you should send us a copy of this because I want to play. I want to play and write about it. Yes, thank you, please.
What?
This is awesome. That is so cool. Why didn't we have this when I was in school? No, I had to sit and stare at the stupid chalkboard, which I hated, by the way, gave me all the use, or that crazy overhead that you couldn't read and take pages and pages of notes, where this sounds like so much fun and like I would actually remember the things that he put inside of it, you know?
Well, I like when technology interacts with schooling. It's always good.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this story is not loading for me.
Oh, fun. You want me to grab another one?
Oh, wow. No, that one's way too long. Okay, so we're going to back up off of that one. That's why. That is entirely too long. Yes, grab another one because I'm at the fight.
All right. This one is just a short one. Kind of not good. GamePolitics.com, Dish to close a third of Blockbuster stores. Have we already talked about this? This sounds familiar.
I think we mentioned something about it, but I don't think it was Dish that said. Go ahead.
All right. So Blockbuster may have been saved when Dish Network purchased them in April 2011 for $228 million. But it looks like less than a year, the second largest satellite TV provider needs to trim some fat. The company will close down a number of Blockbuster stores shortly. Blockbuster recently reported its first increase in subscribers in over 2 years, thanks largely to its Blockbuster purchase. Nevertheless, the company said this week that it will close a third of Blockbuster's 1,500 brick-and-mortar rental outlets, with more planned in the future. Yes, sorry, Blockbuster, you cannot compete with the Red Box. All right, so Dish reported earnings of $313 million for the October-December period, up from $252 million a year ago. Revenue was also up 13%. $3.63 billion, $3.63 billion. Dish added 22,000 subscribers in the quarter as well. Dish now has an estimated 14 million U.S. subscribers. After acquiring the rental chain in April of last year, the company created a Blockbuster branded streaming service, which it bundles with its satellite services. Personally, I don't want your service at all. I've got Netflix on my Wii or on my Xbox or, yeah, all kinds of different ones. You know, I got my PS3, I got my Xbox, I got my Wii. Why do I need you? I don't even watch TV, so look.
Oh, Ginger, you have to come watch TV at least sometime.
No, I don't.
She said, nah, no, I don't. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I told you when the zombies are coming home, so you're going to know. Even though the emergency alert system doesn't work, you'll at least be able to see
when
the
I
looping.
Hear,
it's too late then.
I know.
The looping news footage of the newscasters getting eaten. Well,
I will hear about it. I will hear about it.
From who?
I don't know, but yeah, I live on the boonies. I'm not concerned.
I will try to call you, but I will be on the run.
Yeah, it's actually the deal. I'm pretty sure zombies are not going to be bright enough to knock out our cell service, so we'll be good.
Well, it's not that they'll be bright enough to knock out. They're just going to bite all the people so where they can use your cell phones.
Oh, there's that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next phone call I get that somebody butt calls me as a zombie and I hear, nom, 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 I'll go.
And it might not be real. It might be somebody's trying to scare you.
I swear to God. If one of y'all punks butt calls me today and does the whole nom, nom, nom brain.
It wouldn't be today. I wouldn't do it today. It would probably be 6 months from now. I'd call you,
oh. That would be awesome. Oh, my God. I love you, Corey.
4 or 5 people call you, oh.
Well, Well, just so you know, people, I live on the boonies. I have guns.
That's why I'm going to call and come to the house dressed like a zombie. I'm going to call first.
I love you. You know, and even if you are a zombie, I will still love you as I'm shooting you. I'll go for the brain because, you know, I don't want to just shoot you in the knee and then just have you as a zombie.
Yeah, like on Walking Dead. Sorry. Yeah. Oops, I gave that one away. Some of you. Hope you're not listening. Those of you who didn't know. Okay. So, those of you, we got time for this? Yeah, we got about 5 minutes. British indie MMO, The Missing Link, or it might be The Missing Ink, I can't really tell, enters open alpha testing. Mm-hmm. It's available to try an open alpha form from developer Red Bedlam. They've just announced this today. You can go over to their official website, sign up for the game, and jump right in. It's it is Missing Ink. It's missing-ink.com. Missing Ink sees players saving a fantasy world gone wrong while building up the game's 3D sandbox setting, which sounds kind of interesting. Characters and enemies take the form of living stickers, like Paper Mario's wafer-thin population. Yeah, like those people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's some footage somewhere floating around, which I'm trying to grab for you guys, but they're not making it easy. But if you're printing up alpha action. Remember, it is alpha, people. It is not going to work exactly perfect. It will not. It cannot.
No, it's alpha. It's not going to work perfect at all.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you know that before you jump in. Don't start emailing them talking about it doesn't work. Tell them what doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's alpha. All right. We got a couple of minutes. Bear with me. Ashlyn's Retribution. Ashlyn's Retribution is a Twitch dual stick shooter that really ramps up the difficulty. It follows the trend of what might be considered bullet hell or Danmaku style of gameplay, but with a few twists. At first glance, you might think it has a Stardust HD-like game. There are asteroids, and the game does take place on a spherical grid instead of a traditional 2D grid. But the similarity to all other shooters in there. Wee vitamins kick in. All right, so Retribution's metagame mechanic is closer to an action RPG than any similar shooter in the genre. The player must manage their energy much like he or she would manage mana usage. They must kill enemies to receive more energy while simultaneously exhausting that energy to kill more enemies. It's actually a very addictive and tactical strategy in how you choose to play the game. In addition to this, the player has an array of upgrades. Unlike other arcade shooters, Retribution focuses on the progression of the player, not the not the hopeless task of praying for the right power-ups to appear. Apparently the maker actually wrote this. He or she, I don't know, says, in my opinion, Retribution is a polished game worthy of the live arcade marketplace, but with the budget price tag of an indie marketplace game. I think gamers will love it, and I hope you agree. Oh, wow, that's new.
So this
is called Ashlyn's Retribution. It's on Xbox Indie Live Arcade now, looks like, so head over there, check that out. They did not give me a price, though.
All right. Did you hear that lovely 90 seconds? They're like, yes.
I did. That's new. Wow, she's bossy. I kind of like it.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for Lunch with Ginger and Corey for the week. We'll see you guys bright and early Monday.
Oh, wow. That's new.
Oh, I'm hoping, like, only we can hear that. In any case.
I doubt it. I think we can hear it.
In any case, we'll see you guys back here Monday. Hopefully, we have some interesting news for you.
Come through the club, people check their place. Chicks throwing handcuffs, cause they knowin' that they man ain't safe. Cause she the one switching up flow. If it's Bodo, you gotta go. Chicks like what kind of jeans is dope. And fellas watching like, please get loud.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.